Okay, thank you for joining again for the Get to My Goat podcast by Rachel Howell. Today, we are going to be sort of doing a bit of a spin-off type thing of the last episode we had, which was about the kidding season, and gave some information about that. And this is kind of going to be a sequel, if you will, to that. And today we're going to be talking about bottle feeding and taking care of baby goats after they're born. So sometimes you can find, and we kind of talked about this a little bit in our first, in our very first episode, sometimes you can go to a goat dairy and find, or a sheep raiser and find bummer lambs or goat kids that they want to get rid of so that they can have the milk from the doe, and they will let her feed the baby for maybe like a day or two, and then they will find a new home for that baby goat or baby lamb that can be bottle fed and raised by either another doe, or you can raise that baby yourself. So we're going to be talking a little bit about today what they eat, how you can feed them, different methods, and you know what they need. So, your doe, let's say your doe has kitted, and she is not feeding one of her babies, or maybe she's just decided she doesn't want anything to do with her babies, or maybe she kitted and came down to something like milk fever, and somehow or other, unfortunately, maybe she died after she had her babies. It does happen. It's kind of rare. It's pretty rare, but it does happen. So you find yourself in one of those situations. What can you do? Well, if she's rejecting the babies, the best way, the best thing you can do is stick with it. Give her maybe 48 hours to decide. It's about 2 days to decide that she wants to be the mom or not. And I would say after about 2 or 3 days, if she's still, you're gonna have to watch her really carefully, but I would say after about 2 or 3 days, if she's still not super interested in them, you're probably gonna end up having to do something different because she's just probably not gonna take them. But the best way you can convince her to take them and convince her that she is their mother is to continue to feed those babies her milk. Even if you have to milk her out into a bottle and try to bottle feed the babies, or if you have to put her on the milking stand or have somebody hold her while you let, while you kind of make her let the babies nurse off of her, which is an even better method, it's important that those babies get her milk if possible. And it's important that they're left with her if possible, because that's how she's going to recognize that she is theirs. So when they drink her milk and when they poop, basically, there's something in that, some kind of like pheromones or something that they can smell and pick up on that lets them know that they are her babies. And if she's just had them, like within 24 hours or less, and she's not acting super friendly towards them, super motherly towards them, you can actually use the afterbirth and kind of rub it on the babies a little bit and let her smell them, because again, she will recognize that smell and kind of put two and two together and hopefully after a little while accept them. Those two methods will come into play in the grafting scenario also, which is where she's either rejected them or she's died, and you would rather not have to be bottle feeding them if you can help it, so you decide to try to put the babies on another doe. That's called grafting, and it's actually done fairly often in scenarios, you know, in cow dairies and actually beef operations and goat and lamb operations. Grafting is actually done fairly often because you may end up with several babies that are needing to be fed that you don't have time to feed. So finding a cow or a lamb or a ewe or a doe to do that for you is always a better option. So when you are talking about grafting, you're going to take that baby to another doe and milk out her milk and feed that baby her milk so that she smells that scent, so that she recognizes her scent on that baby. And again, if she's freshened, if the doe that you're trying to graft the kid onto has freshened within the last 24 hours or less, you could also use her afterbirth and kind of get a little bit on it, you know, rub the babies with it just a little bit. Or you could even take a rag and rub it on the mom and then rub it on the babies. But I think rubbing the afterbirth on the babies a little bit is a slightly better method, and kind of let her smell the babies and get acquainted with them, and leave them with her if possible, if she's nice to them, and just let her get used to them being around. Let her get used to them, you know, kind of poking around at her, and let her get used to their sounds and stuff like that. And you'll have to, again, you'll have to probably go out there and either put her on the milking stand or get somebody to help you hold her and let the babies nurse if you can. Just because you're having to go out and supplement with a bottle, it's if you're trying to get their mom or another doe to accept them, it's best to leave them with her if you can. So there's that. Do's and don'ts. First off, don't let your babies overeat if you've decided to bottle feed them, or even if you've decided to, use something like a milk bar. So there's a couple different, methods. You can use a milk bar, you can use a bottle and hand feed them, you can use a creep feeder, which usually they do when they're being weaned and getting used to roughage, you know, hay and grain and grass and things like that. But in any situation, you don't want to let them overeat. This is enterotoxemia. That's the term for it, is actually enterotoxemia, and it can be deadly and it can be very serious and very life-threatening. There is a, we mentioned this in our, in one of our previous episodes, which is covers kind of herd health and deworming and vaccinations and some common diseases that you may run into with your herd. Enterotoxemia is mentioned there, and you will want to make sure that those babies have a C and D shot to help prevent enterotoxemia. So don't let them overeat. Don't be sporadic in your feeding. Don't be like, oh, well, I think I'll, you know, wait a little bit longer, or I'll feed them a little bit early. Do the best you can to feed them at regular intervals. It's gonna seem like they're always hungry and that they never get enough and that they're always crying. Don't let them make you feel too bad, because I guarantee you they are eating and they are full. It's just that they can become very enthusiastic and very friendly and very attached to you very quickly. So they'll be very excited when they see you coming with the bottle and stuff like that. And they are hungry most of the time, but they are not starving. So it is okay for them to be a little bit hungry. That's how they become good eaters. So do your best to keep them on a schedule. Usually in the beginning with very young babies, with the first 2 or 3 weeks, I say probably feed them every 2 hours or so, or at least offer them a bottle every 2 hours or so. Some of you may go longer, but I like to make sure that they are getting well fed, and then you can kind of space that out as they get older. So you can go to 3 hours or 4 hours and 5 hours as they get older, probably. From about a month or so on, you can start spacing things out a little bit more. But it's important when you're feeding them, it's important to know how the dough feeds them naturally. They don't sit and eat a big, huge meal every 2 hours. You know, they're not going to go and drink an entire bottle every 2 hours with their mom. They're going to be coming every half hour probably, and just getting little 3 to 5 minute, if even that long, snacks throughout the day all the time. Every half hour to an hour, they're going to be getting little snacks for mom. And you'll see that with your other does in the herd. That's how they naturally feed their babies. So knowing that can also help you know how to feed your baby goats. You probably shouldn't feed them every half hour. It's going to get awfully exhausting for you, but if you feel like that's the best thing to do, then go ahead and give it a try and see what they do. But also, here's another do here. Do pay attention to their what they're telling you. If they're not acting sick, but they're not acting super hungry, chances are they're just full and they may not be a big eater. So give them another 2 hours or so and they'll probably be hungry and they'll probably eat a little bit for you. So just kind of be paying attention to that and don't let them overeat, but also make sure that they're eating enough. Well, how do I know if they're full? How do I know if they're eating enough? They won't eat very much. They'll probably only eat a few ounces for the first week or two. So don't be surprised if they aren't eating a whole lot. They're little tiny babies and they have little tiny tummies and little tiny bodies, so they're not going to eat a ton at the beginning. But a good way to know whether or not they're full, because they won't always stop suckling the bottle when they're full, is to reach under their belly with your hand and kind of feel it. If it's kind of soft and gushy, they may want to eat a little bit more. They may be hungry. If it's kind of rounding out and kind of tight, they're full and they need to stop eating. So it's fairly simple to tell. Another way that you'll know if they're hungry or not is if you kind of watch their lips and their mouth. Sometimes they will actually imitate suckling a bottle when they are hungry. They'll kind of use their mouth and kind of make a sucking motion. And that's a good indication that they're probably ready for something to eat. Or sometimes they might lick their lips. And just like human babies, sometimes they can get a little bit fussy. Sometimes they can cry a little bit and try to let you know that they're hungry. So there's some precautions to take. Another thing you're going to have to watch for is their baby goats. Their poops kind of go through a few different phases. The first phase usually lasts the first couple of days. Some people call it the colostrum poops. And this is because when they are on the dough, for the first few days after she's had them, after she's had her babies, she will be making colostrum, which is very, very rich and very, very thick milk that is specifically for the babies for their first days. And this causes them to have very, very thick poop, but it's not like normal goat pellet poops. It's kind of soft and not formed, but it's very yellow and very distinct. Those of you who know what I'm talking about are on the same page. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's very distinct, and that only lasts for a few days. And then they get what's called, some people call it the tar poops or the black poops, and it is indeed that. This is getting closer to their normal type of goat poop, but it's still kind of runny. It's very sticky, and it's very black, very dark black. This is normal. Both of those situations are normal. But the danger with that is they can become backed up. They can get impacted very easily because it can stick to their tail and it can stick to their bottoms and stuff like that. And usually, you may not even notice it when they're with mom because she will do such a good job cleaning it up usually. But you may occasionally, here's a little caution, here's a little warning for you. You may occasionally find yourself going out there with a bucket of warm water and a rag to kind of wipe off the poop and get it off of their tail and off of their little bottom so that they can continue to go poop. So there's that. And again, their poop will change as their food changes. So do be aware of that. So you can feed the kids, you can feed the babies milk from mom, or you can feed milk, you can feed them milk from, if there isn't milk from mom, or if you've just kind of adopted or brought home a baby goat that you're going to feed yourself, you can also use formula. You can use goat milk replacer. And I found that there are two ways to do that. One is to make your own goat milk replacer. And some people actually like to do that. It's not super, super hard to do, but it does take some finesse. So I actually have a recipe here for you for homemade goat milk replacer. And you are going to do, and this is based on the kid's age, will be how much you feed them and how much they eat, and we'll get into that in just a second. But so you can use 3 quarts of whole cow's milk. You don't want to use 2% or skim milk. It needs to be whole cow's milk. 1 can of goat's milk. 1 cup of plain yogurt. And 1 cup of heavy cream. And you feed this mixture every 2 hours for the kids' initial first few days, so probably the first 3 to 5 days, I'm going to say. And you usually only want to feed about 1/2 ounce to 2 ounces at each feeding. Usually that's all they'll eat. So once the baby's about 2 weeks old, you can change the formula by leaving out the heavy cream, and you can replace the heavy cream with 1 can of condensed or unsweetened condensed whole milk. So by now you're feeding them about 8 ounces of formula in about 4 times a day. And he's also going to start kind of nibbling at hay and grass a little bit now because they're starting to get teeth and their rumens are starting to kind of be developing and come into play there. And then when the baby's about a month old, you can leave out the goat's milk and just add another can of condensed milk. So there's that formula. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You do not want to substitute soy, low-fat, lactose-free, or any other type of milk for the cow's milk. Again, do not substitute soy, low-fat, lactose-free, or any other type of milk for the cow's milk. Because some they don't do very well with other types of milk. Cow's milk tends to be very high in fat and pretty high in protein, I believe. And that's what the baby goats need. That's what they need as they're growing, is they need something with body to them. And soy and lactose-free milk tends to be sort of watered down and kind of lacking. So do not substitute the cow's milk for anything when you're making your homemade goat milk replacer. You can also add an egg or two to the mixture. This will also give some more protein and will also give it some more body. But do check all ingredients with your veterinarian. Make sure that your vet doesn't have any better ideas. And in fact, this leads me to my next point. Your veterinarian will probably suggest something like a commercial goat milk replacer, something like Doe's Match by Land O'Lakes, which is what I like to use. I've actually heard some people don't like to use this because they say they say their babies have a little bit of a hard time putting on weight and keeping on weight with this milk replacer, but personally, I've never had a problem with it. So when you are feeding milk replacer, it is going to be in a powder form. This comes in a couple different sizes, you know, a couple different bags. You can get like a 5-pound bag, or you can get like a 25-pound bag. So it's going to be a powder, and you're just going to basically have to add water to it. That being said, you are going to have to be careful, and this kind of goes back to the little poop conversation we had a minute ago. When you are dealing with formula that you're mixing with water, you're going to have to watch very carefully and make sure that you get the consistency right. You don't want it to be too thin, or your baby might end up with possibly a little bit of diarrhea, and they may not be getting the nutrients that they need, and you may also see some stunted growth, but you don't want it to be too thick of a formula, of a mixture, because if you have it too thick, your baby will be constipated. The baby goat could be constipated, and you'll notice some bloating and just some issues in general with that. So my rule of thumb, and my mom says this all the time when she's mixing or cooking anything, she'll just say, go till it looks right. So I'm going to say what my mom says and say, when you are dealing with commercial milk replacers, go until it looks right. Go until it's about the consistency of milk. Not too much thicker, but certainly not thinner. So go until about the consistency of milk. Usually, you can do dose match from the time they're about 2 days old through weaning. It has 25% crude protein. It has some fat in it. It has some fiber. It has calcium. It has phosphorus, sodium, and vitamins A, D, 3, and E in it. So it's got lots of good stuff in it for them. They tend to, again, they tend to do pretty good on this, but you do want to keep an eye on it, and don't let them overeat this either. So let's go and talk about some of the supplies that you can use and some of the supplies that you're going to need for, bottle feeding your baby. You're going to need you're going to need a nipple. There's a couple of them out there. They're called Pritchard nipples, and Pritchards tend to be yellow. They will have a yellow ring on them, and then they will have a red nipple that's kind of soft and rubbery attached to it. And these yellow ones tend to do really well with water bottles, like just your general plastic cheap water bottles, but I don't like to feed out of water bottles because they tend to be harder to clean. I tend to use glass bottles, and we are lucky enough that we actually have a few of them, and the reason for that is because they are easier. I like to warm up my milk, so I'll mix it, and then I'll just kind of let it sit in a warm water bath on the stove, and glass bottles usually do really well with that. And then there's another type of nipple that it may also be called a Pritchard nipple, but I'm not 100% sure. And it is it's just a black rubber nipple. And I like those because they don't screw onto anything like the Pritchard nipple. It has to have something to screw onto. But this black rubber nipple, you can literally just pop it over a glass pop bottle or a glass bottle, or something like that. if you must, you can also use a baby bottle. You can literally just go to the store and get a baby bottle. These tend to be a little bit easier to clean than a plastic water bottle. However, they are still plastic, and I tend not to like to use plastic. That's just me. So you can use that. What happens if your baby gets sick or is too weak to suckle from mom or from a bottle on her own? Well, then you may have to use a tube. And this is something that should only be used as a last resort, because in extreme cases, it can be hard to get them. The longer they are on the tube, the harder it is to get them off of it. So, tube feeding is something that should only be used as a last resort when they are very weak, very sick, you know, things like that. Just because mom isn't feeding them does not mean that you should jump right into tube feeding them. Or even if they're born a little bit premature, sometimes tube feeding is necessary. So you can go to your veterinarian, which I certainly would suggest doing if you have a sick baby goat. And they can help you pick the right tube, and they can actually even help you decide if tube feeding is even needed. Some situations where tube would be needed would be floppy kid syndrome, where they're unable to nurse, polio, thiamine deficiency, enterotoxemia, maybe babies that have parasites like coccidia, E. coli, dehydration, diarrhea, things like that. So do be very careful. When you are measuring your tube, you're going to measure from the baby's nose to the center of the ear, back down to the chest floor, and then you're going to mark the tube at the nose at this point, because that'll tell you how far you need to go. That's as far as you need to go. So mark it so you know how far the tube needs to go down. And then when you are actually feeding the tube through the esophagus, into the mouth, through the esophagus, and into the stomach, make sure that it stays on top of the tongue. Don't let it go either side of the tongue. Don't let it go under the tongue, obviously. Do the best you can to keep it right, to keep the tube right down the middle of the baby's tongue, because this should help you kind of get a straight shot to the esophagus. The baby's probably going to want to chew on it and may struggle a little bit. As long as the baby is able to cry and breathe, it's a good indication that it's in the right place. If you end up having coughing or acting like it's choking, or if it can't breathe and make any noises, you need to withdraw the tube and kind of redirect it and aim it down the esophagus again, because if it's coughing, that means it's in the trachea leading to the lungs and not in the esophagus, which leads to the stomach. And if you put it in the trachea and you start feeding it, you will drown it or give it pneumonia, because it the milk is going into the lungs and not into the stomach. So if you are uncomfortable tube feeding, your veterinarian will probably be more than happy to either show you how to do it, or even they may even be able to keep the baby at the clinic with them for a while until it no longer needs a tube. So don't be afraid to express your concerns if you're not comfortable tube feeding, because while it is fairly simple and straightforward, this is a very tiny baby, and you do want to be very careful. You don't want to overfeed when you are tube feeding. Sometimes it's easy to overfeed them just a little bit, because once you've given them what you think is enough, you still have a couple ounces left in the tube. So do be careful. make sure that the milk is warm at this point. Not hot, not cold, but, you know, nice and warm. That'll also kind of help them stay perked up a little bit and help them be a little bit healthier. You can probably start with, you can probably use a 3 to 12 cc syringe and probably just do one or two of those to start with, just to get a little something in their tummy. Probably 2 to 4 ounces is good for a premature or a weak baby. You can also use the tube as a last resort if you need to give baby some electrolytes or a tiny bit, just a tiny bit, not a whole lot, just a little bit of sugar water if you need to. However, they usually like the sweetness of sugar water, so you may not have to tube feed them that, but you're probably going to have to tube feed them electrolytes. And if they're down, if they're actually the term is recumbent, if they are not able to get up and walk around, I would suggest doing electrolytes once a day at least, and just making sure that they're okay that way, making sure that they're getting the nutrients that they need. Let's see. The milk bar. Let's talk about the milk bar really quick. So the milk bar, this is used when you have a bunch of baby goats. If you need to feed multiple babies and you don't have time to sit there with bottles and feed all of them, you can use a bucket that hangs on the fence or on the barn wall, and it'll actually have several nipples on it, anywhere from like 4 to 8 even. And you fill it with milk, and then all the babies will come and latch on to one and drink it all down. But you do want to be careful, because even though you have several babies eating at the same time, it is still possible for them to overeat. So be careful with the amount of milk that you put into the bucket. Most of these buckets are 5 gallons, and that's a lot, unless you're feeding like 20 babies. 5 gallons is quite a bit. But they usually do really well. They usually come and eat quickly and do their thing and walk away. And there's usually not a whole lot left for them to gorge themselves on by the time they're all done eating. So milk bars are also a really good, fairly low maintenance way of making sure that your babies get fed when you have a bunch of them. They tend to bond with you better when you are bottle feeding them yourself, but they can become just as friendly and just as loving when they're on the milk bar. So that's also a really good way to do it. And they have feeders, they have they have cradles that you can attach to the fence that'll just have space for like one bottle at a time, so you can hang a bottle on the fence if you need to. I did that one time when I was raising a calf several years ago, when I was a little kid. I raised a calf, and I would have to get up in the morning kind of before school and go and feed him, and I didn't always have time to stand there and wait for him to eat, so I would fill the bottle and put it in the cradle, and he would just come along and eat it. So those are a few methods of feeding them. Make sure, and I kind of mentioned this a little bit ago, but make sure once they're about 2 weeks old that you are giving them the option to kind of nibble at some good hay and maybe some grass. And then once they're about 2.5 to 3 weeks old, you can start introducing them to a little bit of grain. Probably not more than about a handful or two at a time, But introducing them to some grain, like I use goat chow, you can use rolled oats, or you can use, it's called wet cob, but it's really like cracked corn with molasses in it, and goats love it. They absolutely love it. So there's some ideas for starting them on grain that you can use. And again, they really only need, for the first little bit, they really only need like a handful or two at a time. You really don't want to overdo it. Excuse me. Because they can, it's like candy. They can get diarrhea from eating too much grain, and they can get bloated if they really eat too much grain, so do be careful with that, but do introduce them to it once they're about 3 weeks old to kickstart their rumen and kickstart the rest of their digestive system, because all they've had up till now has been milk, you know, and hay and grass will help with starting their rumen, but giving them grain is a really good way to do that. Don't forget to, and I just want to say this again, don't forget to check with your vet if you have any questions or concerns with feeding, or, you know, how to feed, what to feed, when to feed, how much, anything like that. Your vet will be more than happy to help you out and give you some good information and give you some pointers on other, you know, do's and don'ts when raising your baby goats. Don't feel overwhelmed, because it is possible to raise a happy, healthy goat that way, and it is lots of fun. They get really excited when you come and see them to feed them, and they'll wag their tails, and they'll start talking to you, and it's just so much fun and very rewarding. So don't be put out, and don't be overwhelmed with that, but do check with your vet before feeding them anything, and reach out to your vet if you have any problems, if they get sick or anything like that. Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and call it good there. Our next episode will be on 4-H. What is it? Who is it? How to get involved? I'll also be telling you a little bit about my years in the 4-H program, what I've learned, some ups and downs during that, and I think that'll be really fun and really exciting. So join us for that. Thank you so much for joining me today. Just some shout outs really quick. Don't forget to check out Tea with Mike on Facebook. This guy loves to drink tea, and he has lots of cool guests on his podcast channel and his Facebook page. So please do go ahead and check him out. Also like to give an awesome shout out to the amazing Trey and Justin Bell. They have a really good YouTube channel. They're on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, you name it, they're on it. Hilarious guys, hilarious brothers, always doing crazy funny things. So please do go ahead and check them out. You will not be disappointed. Also check out my YouTube channel, Gets My Goat by Rachel Howell. We have some pretty fun stuff going on there, so please feel free to like, share, and subscribe to that, and I will see you guys in our next episode. Thank you.